Welcome to the first Patreon episode of June. Sorry, it's coming a little later in the month than I wanted, but earlier than previous months. So, you know, we're always improving. This is No Cartridge. I'm Trevor Strunk. You know me. I wanted to talk today. Oh, how are you? First off, how's your June? I hope everything's going well. A little bit of a weird month with E3 being canceled and a bunch of weird little directs coming up as opposed to it. I don't really know what to say about that. I'm going to have, I'm going to talk to Chris Person soon on the main feed. There's a little bit of a preview for you. And we'll be talking a little bit about that, but it's just a weird moment for games. There's not a lot going on. There's Sniper Elite 5. There's expansions aplenty in Final Fantasy 14. New patch just dropped. But, you know, it's a weird time for games. It's weird enough that, like, so I had a bunch of stuff kind of queued up in my head for to talk about for Elden Ring. And, you know, for various reasons, it became, you know, not all based on just like, oh, my inability to do it. Some of it was just like the, you know, it can be tricky to find time to do things, right? I ended up not being able to do them. And the one thing I was worried about was that it would actually, like, we'd actually run out of time for it to be relevant, right? Turns out, not a lot of games are coming out. And in fact, you know, as even though it's become kind of like an old game at this point, and everyone's kind of through it, it's still like I feel like the I feel like Elden Ring is still kind of out there. Like it's still real. It's still a game that people are interested in, right? And so, you know, one of the things that I'd like to talk about is an Elden Ring thing, but I think it ties into a number of other elements of our current moment. Not necessarily video game stuff, but also the political stuff as well. Oddly, this is going to start with a discussion about maps. So if you played Elden Ring, you've looked at the map. You know, it was actually sort of a level of controversy in that it did have a map, right? That was a surprise. People were sort of surprised by this, that the game would have a map that you could use as a player, right? Insofar as previous Dark Souls games did not have that. It was not something that was common. It was, in fact, something that was almost frowned upon. The idea was you had to, you know, go ahead and find the various things that were supposed to be going on in the world by yourself. It was a project of discovery, let's say. Whereas in Elden Ring, you're given the map. Like, you're given the places that you need to actually find the things that you're looking for. Initially, what I thought was, okay, so this map is just going to give us, like, we're basically going to be able to unlock zones, right? Like, we'll be able to say, you know, we're in Caelid now, or here's how these two places connect, or something like that, right? And in some ways, that's true, right? You do get to see, like, okay, you're starting place, here's Liurnia, here's how that connects to Caelid, here's how that connects to Laendel. Like, there's all these places that kind of connect in, you know, compelling and interesting ways, but you know, ways that in other previous Souls games, if you're thinking about how, like, say, the undead Burg connects to the catacombs, connects to Firelink Shrine, connects to the catacombs, or Firelink Shrine connecting to the I'm trying to think of what that would be called, like the sort of sunken city, right? There's a way that, like, you create a mental map and they're all sort of, like, connected places, right? Especially Dark Souls 2, this is the case. In Elden Ring, it's a literal map, right? Like, it's an actual sort of map. And so, you know, what I thought was, okay, it's a salve to sort of difficulty discourse, right? Because everything in Elden Ring or Souls games has to be difficulty discourse, which is irritating, but often the case. You know, it's often the case that we end up thinking that these games are, I don't know how to say this, like that everything about them has to be referenced to some level of discussion of difficulty. And so I think what's interesting is that the game itself, when it gives us the map, it is not a matter of, you know, oh, we need to have this map so that you as a player know where you're going, right? It is, in fact, like a way to discursively have a map. And not a map in terms of, so there are two video game maps that I thought would look like. The one would be the one I just described, which is like, okay, you get like a basic idea of like, okay, I got to get to Caelid. What are the places that connect? You get sort of like your classic Castlevania map, right? Where there are little boxes connected together. I thought that might be it. And then I thought, well, you know, maybe it won't be that. Maybe it'll be, sort of like an Ubisoft map, right? Which is not what I was hoping for, but it would be okay if it was. And, you know, thinking maybe it would be a map that would be like, okay, you know, I'm trying to think of how to say this, like, here's your next goal, right? Like, here's your next quest, here's your next thing. Like, a little light pops up and says like, oh, your quest is over this way, follow the little map icon. Final Fantasy XIV has a map like this too. It's a very MMO thing, but kind of necessary in an MMO, as has been, you know, much ink spilled over it. Not as necessary in an action game, right? It sort of feels like maybe a little overdetermined. What I think is kind of interesting about the map in Elden Ring is it splits the difference, right? And exists as this map that is discursive in the way that, you know, the Castlevania map is. It shows you where you've been, shows you where you need to go. Like, there are places that are like a little bit off. You know, like, oh, the this place is grayed out, we have to go find it. Or like, oh, I can see the little place where I find the little, tall grave or whatever, that I can get the map and light up this area. However, it is also, it doesn't have like, it, you know, it tells you where NPCs are. At least it started to after the first patch. But it doesn't actually have like any specific... you know, like, okay, here's where, you know, Praetor Rykard is, or like, here's what you need to do to complete this quest. None of that's on there. So what I thought was, okay, this is just the Castlevania map. But what you realize very quickly, I feel like, is that, I won't say that. It wasn't actually all that quickly for me. It should have been a lot quicker. What I realized was, hey, like, actually, everything on this map is something that you can go to. Everything marked, right? If there's a little red circle, that's a cave. If there's like a little place that, you know, has like a, it looks like almost like a mount or something like that, a mountain or something like that, that's probably like a place that you can head up onto. Are you looking for a castle? You might want to look for something that looks like a castle on the map. You know, I thought, essentially what I thought was, this is a map that is meant to signify map. Right, it's meant to signify like, here's something that can help you understand where you are purely by location, not something that also had significance in terms of a legend, right? Like a map that we would use today. It has roads, it has like little markings on it that we can recognize. Video games haven't had those kinds of maps in a long time, and typically they are included with the game as some sort of like benefit, right? Very rarely do we actually get a practical, functional map, and in Elden Ring we do. And so this is really interesting. Like, this is a kind of compelling addition. I think it's maybe one of the most interesting additions that Elden Ring gave us, in that, like, we actually get something that no other game in recent memory, and maybe I'm wrong, I mean, I'm sure you guys can point me to a game that I'm forgetting about, but no game that I can remember has had this kind of map where, like, in fact, you're not just relying on the map in terms of an Ubisoft-y, like, okay, what's my checklist? You're looking at the map in terms of like, okay, like there are areas on this map and I have to like actually look at the topography to figure out how to get to places. And I have to look at the sort of like legend, such as I'm figuring it out as I go along, to figure out what's there. Like, oh, you know, like I have to find Renala, it's been a minute since I played the game, Ronnie. I have to find Ronnie. Where my chibi, she lives in like a castle up towards the north. Well, here's a castle. Like, no one sent me here on a quest, but maybe, you know, it is like it's a map that forces you to make inferences and use it as a tool, not just as a reference point, right? And what is kind of fascinating about this map, right, is I think, you know, so first off, I think it's super interesting, and I think it's a great addition to the game. 100% unapologetically very cool addition by Miyazaki, George R. R. Martin, FromSoft, whoever decided to add it, right? All the way for it. The weird part about it, right, the weird thing about the map is that it also kind of speaks to this, like, imagined past of video games, right? Where your imagination was king, right? Like, oh, you know, like the exploration of Dragon Quest, or like the exploration of the original Legend of Zelda, or something that's come into vogue recently, Legend of Zelda 2, right? Like these games that have maps, but maps that encourage you to explore outside of them, or to use them as a starting point, right? And, you know, like most signifiers for a lost past, and maybe this is just me, maybe this is just something that popped into my head, but it felt like something where I was like, oh yeah, you know what, this reminds me of like what video games used to be. But in thinking about it, right, it's not really what video games used to be. This map is like a fairly specific and unique instance. I mean, you could probably argue that Skyrim or the Elder Scrolls games, probably, you know, Morrowind as the kind of locus classicus at this point, for this, does it. I remember in Oblivion, going to places like kind of off the map, being like, oh, that looks like a little like town or a knoll or something like that. Fallout did it in the CRPG days. There are maps that have done this, but the idea of having like a paper map within the game that, you know, doesn't actually give you a particular legend and has you think through it, you know, like it is fairly unique. Not entirely unique, but it is something that I think, you know, in thinking about recent examples, certainly that is just like it's Elden Ring, right? And I think that's okay. I think that's fine. I think the more interesting thing here is asking why, to me, it feels like old games. And I think it's because it helps me experience Elden Ring in a way that I experienced older games, which is as like a totality, right? Because, of course, I didn't have as many things on my mind. I wasn't trying to finish things fast. I wasn't trying to cover things for any sort of like content. I was just playing them because I didn't have anything to do. They were what I liked to do, right? And so I experienced these games in their totality, which is like thinking about like Final Fantasy VII, right? You end up going into the far corners of the map because there's nothing else to do. You end up looking for the ruby or emerald weapon. There's so many stories of finding it like accidentally, being like, what is this thing? Like, why is this on my map? And then finding it and like getting like completely destroyed because you were just like goofing around underwater and you ran into the emerald weapon. But like, yeah, I think that is what it reminded me of, that idea of like, oh, this map feels like the totality of the world. And so you get that totality of experience as well. I don't think that's intentional. I think it's just actually pretty interesting and good style design. I do think it's interesting in thinking about missing signifiers and imagined, pasts, right? Because, you know, when we hear particularly right-wing folks talk about a lost past, right? You see these posts from people trying to be sort of the left of the right wing, saying like, you know, like if I have a politics, it's fighting for this. And it's some picture of like, you know, some, not even Norman Rockwell. It's usually like a Thomas Kincaidy sort of like suburban street with Edsels and stuff like that on it, right? The thing they're rooting for there is not like any particular thing. I mean, you could certainly argue it's like, they don't want to see black people or something. I wouldn't say you're wrong, right? I think though that what they're looking for is some sort of signifier that they are, that doesn't exist, right? Like it's not real. It's not something that you can pinpoint, but it's something that they're looking at and thinking like, yeah, like I wish I could go back to that feeling. And in that case, maybe it's a feeling of security, right? Or maybe it's a feeling of predictability or stability or hope or potential upward mobility. Well, you know, whatever. There's a million ways that you can think about it. But that signifier isn't actually there, right? And in much the same way that, like, Dark Souls games have, like, especially in the item descriptions, have done this thing where they have the signifiers sort of like existing in the background, right? Like, oh, what's the history of this thing? How does it exist in the world of Drank Lake or whatever? Well, you can only figure it out in certain ways. It's not really pinned down. The map in Elden Ring doesn't really pin down any more than what you are willing to project upon it, right? The little towers and stuff like that, there's no description of how the map was made. There's no description of, like, why they look that way. None of them are given any sort of, like, honest, like, importance in the game. It's not as if, like, you know, it says, like, oh, the scribe, you know, such and such did this, and that's why it happened, and they're related to America this way or whatever. And if it does, it's deep, deep in the lore, and I haven't honestly read it. So, like, the point is, the signifiers on the map do signify a kind of, like, yeah, okay, like, here's where you might find a tower or something like that. But in terms of meaning, they don't really give us anything, and on purpose. Like, just like every Elden Ring game, they tell us nothing. Or not Elden Ring game, sorry, Souls game. They tell us nothing about the actual world. They just kind of, like, leave us with aphorisms. And ultimately, that's what we get in real life, too, right? Like, that's all we get when we think about, like, oh, you know, here's what I want out of my politics. I want it to feel like this. Or here's what I want out of my art. I want it to feel like this. You see, like, MCU versus Scorsese discourse. That's it too, right? Where it's like, oh, you know, what do I want out of my art? I want to feel like the theater applauding at the end of Spider-Man, right? But that's not a thing. That's a feeling, and the feeling has a kind of reference for you. You felt it. It's real, but you're looking to tack it on to something, right? Anything. And what I realized while thinking about the map was that I wanted to do that with Elden Ring. I wanted to tack that feeling of, like, I'm enjoying this game in a totalized way. I feel like there is a total world, or like I can get lost in this. I want to tack that onto something, like, legible, as opposed to just saying, like, it's kind of interesting the game is making me feel this way in ways that, you know, are different, although they're not unrecognizable from previous Souls games. And you just say, oh, the map, it's like, it's so interesting. It does this, like, it's an overdetermined sort of signification. It's not, right? Like, it is your feeling and you are giving it meaning, right? It's a very interesting design choice. It is nothing more than that. Similarly, like, if you see some piece of, like, conservative art, or, like, you know, you look at, like, I'm trying to even think of, like, a good example of thinking cave. Well, like a Norman Rockwell painting, and you're like, oh, I wish it was like that again. There was no that again. It's a piece of art. It's a representation of something. It's not something that's real. And so the only thing that exists there is your projection of it. Anything else is a sort of design choice, a sort of stylistic object. It doesn't even go into the actual sort of analysis of the piece. And I think it's interesting how it's so easy to fall into that, even if you're not trying to think about it in terms of a desired politics, just a sort of a desired experience even. I realize that's a bit of a not disconnected, but sort of like difficult and winding observation, but that's what I promised you guys on this Patreon anyway. Just something I've been thinking about, and particularly in terms of, like, what we bring to the level of conversation, as opposed to what the game is telling us vis-a-vis analysis. But yeah, so thanks for being here with me on that. Some thoughts I wanted to work out. And Homicide episode next, I think. Graham and I are going on to the next one. And we'll see what we do after that. Looking forward to talking to you again. And thanks for all your support.